I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
The 2005 White Sox.
You know how big a deal that was? That was an 88-year drought of a team not winning a championship.
Yeah, when the Cubs had also not won one at that point, because it's what, 108 minus 21? So
What's the mathematics? Hollow.
Was it 87 for the Cubs at that point?
No,
I have that right.
It was longer than that.
Do I have that right? No.
For the Cubs.
It was because it was 1908.
Yeah.
No, it was 108 years. 1908.
Oh, 108, yeah.
Yeah. So it was 108 minus 21. So it was 88.
Then 112, 129, 101, 126, 148, 116, 152, 117, 103.
For the White Sox and 87 for the Cubs at the time.
At the time.
My math was off.
Yeah, it fell off.
It did, right?
Yeah.
I'm not good
at math, so.
Yeah, no, we work in talking, as now I
remember. I've been thinking about taking some math classes, though.
Really?
It's supposed to be good for your brain.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
I've been thinking about doing that.
Don't you do math, though, in your life? Like, I have this talk with the Rubster time to time.
It's
different. You're going to need this stuff now.
The math that I do in my life, I've got that down.
So, Samoa Joe, you take your 33 and a third chance minus my 25% chance, and you got an 8 and a third chance of winning at sacrifice. But then you take my 75% chance of winning if we used to go one-on-one, and then add 66 and two-thirds percent.
I do a lot of basic algebra in my actual life.
But I would like to do more, and it was one of those things I ran away from in high school and college, and I probably shouldn't have.
You know, I don't even put two and two together. I don't know if it's four or five or three, but for me, it's possibly four.
So get off your ass, let's do some math.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Thank you so much for hanging out inside of our final hour here on the Spiegel and Holmes show. We still got a lot of stuff that we need to get done. I really think that it's important, and we talked about it as a show. Matthew Boy being named to the All-Star game is pretty cool. And I think there are still people who don't quite know his story, so we'll share a little bit of that inside of this hour as well. I'm curious on what Tanny's got for us at 5:45 today, because that's always a lot of fun. But I cede the floor to my partner, because he's brought up something, and we were going to do it yesterday, but we didn't have time. There's something that you would like to get off your chest, and you might find some community in other people who feel similarly.
Yeah, and I'm a little sheepish about even talking about it because I like the player so much, and I love what he's becoming before our eyes. Pete Crow Armstrong, it's like a superstar birthing before our eyes, like in one of those star nurseries that a NASA telescope will see, where you're like, oh my God, look at this galactic happening. We're seeing that happen, and it's been wonderful. His skill set, his passion for the game, his swagger, his relationship with the fans. He's so well-spoken. He's so thoughtful.
I'm so glad you're saying that about a white athlete.
He's really articulate, Lawrence. You like that?
It's pretty good.
All right, good.
Speaks so well. He really speaks well.
But seriously, he's a young player. Not all young players are there in communication. And he's heartfelt. You can tell he's kind. And like, he spoke to the ushers the other day. Paul Sullivan wrote about it, and I talked to the head usher the other day because I just happened to run into him, and he was saying that Pete was wonderful with all of the ushers and the staff at Wrigley. Really connective and honest and great. So like, I think the world of the kid and the world of him as a player right now. It's been amazing. But he does it all the time, and when he did it the other day, it really didn't sit well with me again, and it didn't sit well with the casual baseball fan next to me, who was my sister. And we talked about it, and I realized that I need to come in here and admit that this bothers me.
Horner at third, Happ at second, Suzuki at first. Pete Crow Armstrong at the plate, Matt's on the mound, the pitch. Swing and a miss, he struck him out. Beat Crow Armstrong slams the bat down, slams the helmet down, leaves the bases loaded.
Wow, I didn't realize that John Rooney called it like that, but I'm not surprised. He slammed the bat down. He slammed his helmet down. He ripped the guard off of his arm and threw that down. He picked up the helmet and threw it down again so he could get another throw. Then he kicked the arm guard that he had already thrown down. Everything ends up in a pile there by the baseline. And I'm
at least it's in a pile.
Okay. And then I'm like, well, maybe he'll pick it up and take it in the dugout. But he didn't because he was due to go play. He made the last out of the inning. So I got to look and see if he picks it up himself when he doesn't make the last out. Because leaving it for a clubby to go do is the other level of this that I hope is not a regular thing. And I can't speak to that. In this moment he did. But again, he's going out to play the outfield. But I have to admit, just from my perspective as like a watcher of sports, as a watcher of people, I really don't like it. I think it's unseemly. I think it's like it's not very adult, and it's kind of it bothers me. It doesn't feel like great sportsmanship. Although it's not directly offensive to the opposition, I just don't think it's really setting a good example and a respect for the game. And I just got to admit that it doesn't sit well with me. Hope I articulated that well enough. And I'm not necessarily ripping the guy because I don't want to rip the guy. He's a young player, but I don't like the actions.
I think your ire should be directed at the Cubs. Wait a minute. That's from earlier in the show. What are my thoughts on this one? So this one isn't that big a deal to me because development isn't always linear and we are still talking about a young player. He runs a little hot and he's friendly and he's polite for the most part, and he gets frustrated with himself. So I understand it. I'm with you on don't leave it for the clubby.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I truly don't like that. But I do think that there are moments when you have to express yourself and or else you're going to fall apart. And I struggle with that in a lot of different forums. So I can understand it to a degree. And even in baseball, like even in softball, you know, if I don't hit a ball as well as I thought I could, I would get upset. Now I wouldn't slam anything down, but you could see me, you know, running to first with my head down yelling, you know, because you didn't do as well as you hoped. And that's because I was 49. You know, the guy that I was at 21, 22 on a baseball diamond. And look, I was a captain, so there was some of that. I was a catcher, so you can't really go off when you need to go off, but occasionally you need to let that steam out. I've always been someone, and Dan and I used to talk about this all the time. I always felt like Pete has a little too much dip on his chip. But
is this go hand in hand with the dip on the chip?
Yeah. But I've come around on it now. Like I'm with him and I'm okay. It's the same way that I'm, for the most part, okay with some of the crazy stuff that Wilson Contreras does, because I get it that some guys run hot.
Well,
now, it's a different thing. It's a different thing.
Uh-huh.
Because Wilson often misdiagnoses what is going on and gets stuff wrong.
Right, right, right. That adds a whole nother level. But I hear what you're saying. And let me say, like, I understand that we are who we are as people, and especially as young players and young people, the same stuff that makes you great can make things a problem. And in fact, I was texting with someone who knows Pete really well, and they said that he wears his emotions close to the surface.
Yes.
And that can be a great thing about him, too.
That's why I was worried about that play in center field a couple weeks ago.
Absolutely.
Because he's an emotional player. But similarly to Javi Baez, he needs some of that to kind of flow through him. Like, I know I'm getting kind of existential
here.
No.
I'm with it. They're very similar. There's a connective tissue that's far bigger than the trade. It's the way that they feed off the crowd and the way that they flourish and the way that they bloom, in that way. Did Javi do that? I don't remember Javi expressing himself in that way necessarily.
Javi's a little cooler than PCA, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so
Pete's a little more raw and a little more open about all that stuff.
Like, on the spectrum of Javi to Wilson, PCA is probably closer to Javi,
yeah.
But he's on that spectrum.
Yeah. Look, before we talk about the reaction to this that's coming in, Alex, you had a similar experience with the fan that you were with.
Yeah,
the other day.
What did you say that it was your sister?
Yes.
Right, what did she say after it?
She said, I don't like that.
Yeah, I was with my girlfriend and her cousin, and her cousin Jess said exactly the same. She's like, why is he so angry? So yeah. It was like the similar reaction to it, but
yeah.
I had to explain that, you know, he's a young guy that sometimes... It actually quite a bit when he makes a last out does that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because a lot of the reactions are like, I love it personally. I love the intensity. I don't mind it. There's some other people, but there's a lot of people saying stay off my lawn from Spiegs. Spiegs is shaking his fist saying get off my porch.
Are you the baseball police today?
I don't want to be the baseball police.
You've kind of been the baseball police.
You're
today.
Usually the baseball police.
I'm actually not the baseball police.
You're the fun police. Right?
I'm Black Cop.
I'm Black Cop. Do you have a Black Cave?
Always. I mean, now I have the Black Mobile.
The Black Cave, the stone rolls, the Black Cave is open, and here comes the Black
Mobile. I picture Scatman Crothers' apartment in The Shining.
As the Black Cave? Dick Halloran over the Overlook Hotel.
I mean, the Black Mobile is pretty awesome.
I see you like the. That's why you like being the Black Cop.
I've had a lot of fun driving.
Man, here. I want to be the Black Cop someday. I'm not allowed.
Nope, not allowed. I am though. But yeah, you've been a little baseball policey today.
See, I don't want to be that guy. I'm trying to express it in a real way. Look,
all the jewelry and all the stuff.
That's not what I'm saying, okay? Don't turn me into Bud Norris over here. I don't want to be Brian McCann up in this ish.
Old Matt LaRusso over here sitting next to me.
Stop yourself. You probably know the rules better than I.
Now I know.
The A,
but
the C,
but you didn't
F,
know.
H.
You didn't know the rules.
That was my favorite when Tony got caught.
Well, I mean, that's whatever. But the baseball, him falling asleep during a game,
yeah, it's not
great.
That's not good.
Especially when you're the baseball police.
I haven't fallen asleep during a game since at least Sunday night.
Can I just tell you?
What?
I mean, I know that we often will talk about and rank naps.
Yeah, baseball naps.
Baseball naps are great.
It's
golf naps are
me.
Better. I think
I don't think you know why the golf nap is not better? Because when you wake up, golf is on. It's not baseball. Serious. You wake up and you're like, oh my God, there's still a baseball game on. This is amazing.
West Coast college football on a Friday night.
Oh, that's a good nap. That's a good nap.
You're not even trying. And you're like, oh, you know what? I do want to see San Jose State versus BYU. I'm in.
RIP Pac-12 after dark.
Pac-12 After Dark was the shiznit, let me tell you. I can get away with that, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And that was beautiful, where you look up like, wait.
It was great.
Utah State is playing UCLA?
So could Dan Plesak have gotten away with God Daznit? I think so.
Maybe.
Yeah. Snoop
could
good.
Have.
Yeah. I think, Danny, did I just get away with that?
Maybe.
Sweet. I think, man, we're inventing new ways to express ourselves.
I mean, we're going to have to after that interview with Plesak yesterday. The people on the Twitch and on the Odyssey app got themselves a treat. Exactly.
Yeah, they did.
Because Layla hit us up and when she was walking out of here, she was like,
she had no idea.
She was like, I heard the Plesak interview. I was like, oh, did you hear the time where he said, and then when he also said, she was like, no. I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That happened.
Yeah.
God.
That's amazing. That's Plesak talking about seeing Shohei Ohtani or Aaron Judge walk out of the dugout. Be like, oh boy, that is a thing. So look, I enjoy the hell out of PCA. I hope that it's something he can eventually get under control, because I think there's going to be a lot of people that run with it a lot farther than I'm running with it, you know, because I see all the greatness in him and I see the humanity in him, and I'm not going to harp on it. I've brought it up. I've now talked about it, but there's going to be a lot of people that go to the next level. There's some of the fans that Alex was with or my sister or others are going to be like, oh man, screw that guy. There will be people that turn on you if you do that kind of thing again and again.
I think that the turn only happens if he stops being a productive baseball player.
It's baseball, so he's going to.
Of course, because it's baseball.
He's going to do that. He's going to do that in the middle of a slump, which happens, and people are going to be upset about it.
But I need him to be himself and go through this. I think there are so many athletes who mute themselves, and I don't want him to do that. Like I want to give him the space to explore some of that. I also think that professional athletes and men in general, I think that we do a terrible job of suppressing emotion, and sometimes we do it because of appearances. And if it's not destructive, like I don't find that to be destructive, although the who's picking up your stuff is a thing for me.
That part of it can eat away at a clubhouse. I have seen it.
I agree. But as long as it seems to be kind of self-contained, I'm okay with him growing into the man that he's going to be.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's totally
and that's
fair.
Part of the journey.
That absolutely is. And I think he's got good elder statesman teammates and some smart coaches to help guide him on that journey.
And I mean, he's also got a guy that we consider to be an elder statesman teammate that also does crazy goofy stuff that sometimes get caught on camera.
Oh, JT?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
remember when we all recognized what was going on? And we were like, wait, was that? Oh, no.
You know what I wish? I wish when JT was the fan of the game. Because that's amazing. That's what it was. He was the fan of the game.
He was.
With those things hanging around. I wish that,
so to speak,
that the next night the broadcast would have begun.
Let's take a look back at our fan of the game. From
just simply play-by-play, turning to color and saying, boy, let's talk about last night. That game was nuts. You know, that's what it should have been.
Yar.
But again, you know, Alex Cooper, horrendous, you know.
Tanny, I feel like
and
you're turning on me.
Scene.
Tanny's turning on me this whole day. This whole day. Like, he's got me as the baseball police now.
Well, Tanny didn't call you that. All of the listeners did.
Not all of them. Not all of them. Some people are not calling me that.
Most of them.
This texture's on with a good one. You guys need a segment called Express Yourself where you come up with ways to vent without cursing.
Ooh, like creative word combinations and choices?
Hey, man, I'll say it right now. Dagnabbit is almost as satisfying as a curse word.
Mother, father.
Oh, boy, that's good because that's scary, too.
Yeah, you mother, father.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good.
That's good.
I'm going to go with dagnabbit. Because I'm the baseball police. Because that's what Tony La Russa
would
say.
That definitely seems like something the baseball police would say over and over again.
Fudge.
Dang, damn it.
Baseball narc, because you're kind of undercover right now.
Right. You're right, Tanny.
Hello, fellow kids.
Yeah, his whole thing is, oh, I really love baseball. And baseball is great. Fellow baseball fans, get off my lawn with your expression. How dare you get angry?
God. Love when I'm the bad cop. It's just because I can't be the black cop.
That's not why you're the bad cop.
It is. Well, what am I supposed to do?
You could be the good cop.
I do
it's
that.
Good cop, black cop.
Is that
you
the show?
You could just be the good cop.
I get so confused. I really
it's a bunch
do.
Of different shows, actually.
Can I drive the Blackmobile? Can I drive it one time?
You can get a ride.
Oh, all right.
I'll bring it down here. You might have a problem getting out.
Really? It's one of those? You sink down deep into the Blackmobile?
Speaks. I have been talking, you know, I've been talking about this for a little bit, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah, about getting it?
Your Cybertruck.
Yes. And so I went and got it. And
the spinoff party's going to be just for him.
Thanks to Audi Exchange St. Charles. They were great. I went and took it to my parents' house. And my mom was like, ooh. I like this car.
I like this kind of party.
This car is pretty. And I said, would you like to get into the car? And she's like, yes, because it's got nice leather suede seats.
What a beautiful thing when you can do that for one of your parents like that.
So then she was like, your father can't get into this car. Like, I can barely get out of this car. It's pretty low to the ground.
It is, huh?
And I have already...
I can stop, drop, and roll if it's worth it.
Look, this is me and my brother went on a ride. And my brother's 5 years older than me. Yeah. And he's like, how long are you going to be able to drive this? Because the getting out part is very different.
Here's an option. If you thought about this, don't get out. Just don't do it.
Just keep driving.
Just keep driving. Sleep in there, you know? Get yourself an Ethernet hookup.
It's a good radio gimmick. It's the guy who does the show from a car.
Yeah.
Well, because he lives his whole life there.
Well, guess what, Tanny?
Build a toilet in?
I produced that segment here on The Score when Les drove back from the Eastern Conference Finals.
Of course he did.
In 1999.
And he did the show from the car?
He had to do the first segment from the car.
I think Sears told me that he did what from like a drive-through one time.
I'm not surprised.
Wait a minute. Les was covering like a post-Jordan era Eastern Conference Finals.
He went down.
He felt compelled to do that?
The Pacers-Knicks, right? So he was Pacers-Knicks, and he went down to Indianapolis. And by then, I'm what, a year into my tenure here at The Score?
They should have just let you host the segment until he got back.
Well, I'm getting to that part of it. So Les tells me, he says, I think I'm going to make it back before. And so I'm like, what? Because that was when the show started at 1. Remember, Tommy Williams was on.
Yes.
So Zampilla was producing that.
I love you, big partner.
Exactly. So I'm like, okay. And I'm doing the math. And you know, we're not good at math. But I was sitting there going, it's a 3-hour drive from Indianapolis. And you've been working all day.
Uh-oh.
And so if you're coming back here, sure, you might be here by 12:55 or whatever because of the time change.
Yeah, we're not going to be ready to do a radio show.
You're not going to be ready to do a radio. I was like, all right, so I got everything planned for you. You're pretty much just going to have to walk in and be Les. He's like, I'm not going to make it.
This is Les Grobstein, the late Les Grobstein, an absolute treasure, our former overnight guy.
So he says, I'm going to have to start the show on the phone. And I'm like,
that's not a thing.
Terrible idea.
That is not a thing.
So he's like, can you load up that last break between Tommy going off the air and us starting? I'm like, I can ask Tommy. And he's like, no. I'm on 90.94 now. I'm not far from the station. I'm like, okay. So, and Tommy was like, do you want me to stay? I was like, nah, man, just go, because right, he's going to come in here like a house on fire.
There's the problem. Tommy's got to stay. That's radio.
No, he does not have to stay. So Les gets in. Let's call it 112, 117.
All right, you guys ready? Let's do it. 112, 117.
Somewhere in there, he gets there. And he's wired because he just drove 3 hours, and there's the adrenaline rush of being on the air and all that stuff. Then
Patrick Ewing was traveling all night long.
You mad about the Knicks? He definitely did that. And then at about 3:30, the crash happened.
Oh, no.
And for those of you on Twitch, I'm going to show you what happened, okay? And I'm going to try to explain it. Les is sitting there doing the segment, takes his glasses up.
Uh-huh. Oh, the head just falls directly into the microphone.
Now,
Connor, don't gift that. Whatever you do, have a little class. Gift that.
So,
Connor, you have 60 seconds. Go
get it up there. So he falls asleep while talking to a caller.
Oh man! So the caller ends, and there's no host.
No, that was my first moment on the air.
Really? Your first moment ever on The Score?
I jumped on the air.
Good job.
And asked the caller about what he said. And I was like, Les, what do you think about that? And he's like, well, what do you think about it? Lawrence, what do you think about it?
Oh, wow.
And then I gave my thoughts on it. And then he woke up. And he was like,
and that was that.
And he's back in. And
he got the shock that lasted him the rest of the show.
And then he told me, I can open my mic whenever I want.
Oh,
That is the origin story of me on the air at The Score.
Folks, no. And it, from there to the Blackmobile.
Right.
So you owe everything to Les.
100%.
Now, someone who, you know, I owe nothing to, I also have a similar story. This happened with, this is not as good of a story, but it did happen. Ranji, this happened before a Sox pregame one time. Where we were sending him out to God knows where, and all of a sudden it was like 2 minutes before the pregame opening billboard, which is like, has to be precise timed. And he calls, he's like, hey, buddy, I'm not going to make it. And he like, and he was lost on top of it. So it's like, and this was before GPS was readily available on cell phones. So it's like looking at MapQuest. Well, did you turn in 0.3 miles? Where are you? So he did the first segment of pregame on the phone.
Oh, wow.
Les was, I got to say, hey buddy, for a guy who was driving 90 miles an hour and holding a brick phone, it's 1999, y'all. And holding a brick phone.
It was a pretty good segment.
Did a pretty good job. For a guy hosting a show while driving like a crazy person.
Amazing.
He did a pretty good job of hosting the show.
I love when radio story time breaks out on this show.
Oh, it was a 4 minute open that I put together, Speaks, because I was ready. I was like, this guy's not going to make it. I'm going to give him as much time as I can. I put together a 4 minute open. So he would have as much. And you remember Belmont.
Yeah.
He came in like Kramer on Seinfeld.
Well, and you could park literally right next to the door.
You could roll right up. Yeah.
It's not like we're downtown. You could just roll right up and get there.
You roll right up.
And it's predictable. There's no traffic on that part of town.
Not that time of night.
No. So I understand the confidence that you're actually going to make it. And yet he did not.
And he didn't.
Incredible.
It was really awesome. And I owe Les a lot for allowing me to do all sorts of stuff as far as production and cleaning up the stupid production that he used to have where he would Speaks. Les would, you know how we had the update studio and we could do production back there? And the reel-to-reel back in the day before digital editing, where we go back there with a grease pin and a razor blade, cut tape and splice it together and stuff.
Don't call it stupid. You're on some of it.
Down.
I am.
Lakers going down.
I am. That's not what I meant by stupid. What I meant by stupid is that
I know, Les, I just wanted to play it.
Well, you should play it all the time. I love Les. He would stop the reel-to-reels with his hands.
Oh.
At places that he wanted it to stop. And so when you do that, you get a whoop sound that would then end up on the carts that we would play. And I was like, we need to stop that. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, that doesn't sound good. I was like, I'll just do your production from now on.
Yeah, I could just make an edit to a blank part of the tape.
Yeah, just tell me what you want and I'll put it together. I'm your producer. And I think it was like the first time that Les had actually had someone
who was doing the work for him.
Who wanted to produce the show.
Yeah. That's a big moment when you realize that.
He's someday, like, oh, okay.
Someday when Alex Kuhn actually starts producing this show. We're gonna have that sensation.
Wow,
Danny, you knew it was coming.
I couldn't wait more.
You knew what,
are you gonna do the show tomorrow from the road?
From the road, yeah.
That's when I become a producer.
Yeah, that's when you step in.
Finally.
Sorry, man.
I took up the space on this.
It's so good. It's so good. It's so good.
When we come back, let's hear from Matthew Boyd, because him making the All-Star team is pretty dope, and we should share. We'll talk about it next here on The Score.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback.
Matt's been, I think a breath of fresh air is a great way to put it. He's just got a very positive kind of outlook on everything. And really in his career, he's been through a lot. I mean, he's been injured a bunch. And I think, you know, our hope was when, like, he is ready to be healthy. And this is the time he's going to be healthy. And I think... I think that's got him in a really good place and really happy to be here and really kind of content and with where he's kind of at in his career. But he's off to a great start. You know, we're lucky to have him. He's pitching at a really high level right now.
You know, Matthew Boyd, who Craig Counsell was talking about right there, was in a dark place when he was hurt and rehabbing on his own. And he's probably wondering, was it for this, my life I sought? Maybe so, and maybe not. Maybe so, and maybe not. But he fought his way back, Lawrence. He fought his way all the way back. He got healthy on his own. The Cubs took a flyer on him and signed him. And it has worked out better than any of them could have dreamed.
By the way, Craig Council will be on the show tomorrow. I'm looking forward to talking with him about his All-Stars, and Matthew Boyd is one of them. We had an incredible interview with Matthew Boyd, and I think it's partially because he's a really good dude, and partially because Spiegs did the legwork on this. Like, he built a relationship up with Matthew Boyd and knew his story, so he was able to kind of shepherd the rest of us through the conversation with him. I'm so happy for this guy, and I'm glad that he got a chance to talk with us. So for those of you who didn't hear it, just play you a couple snippets of it. Check this out. This is why he chose the Cubs.
You don't often get to choose. I mean, a lot of the times, even when it is your chance to get to choose, your options are limited, right? But as you get to play, you know, Major League Baseball, and you travel around, and, you know, you see environments like Wrigley Field, and you hear about players who play in organizations, and you play, like, you hear about guys that play like in for the Cubs, and you hear about how highly they speak of it. And, you know, for me, there was always a personal connection to the Cubs. I just loved, my grandfather was a diehard Cubs fan, and he, was just, I don't think I fully understand the depth of his love for the Cubs. But I started to, as I got older and older, and because of his love for the Cubs, I had a love for the, you know, a small love for the Cubs is kind of like, you know, my second team. And when they called in free agency, I was so excited. And it was one of those things where it was like, I knew where I wanted to be, and I'm really thankful.
It's just such a genuine and kind and peaceful dude who felt the Cubs calling as a really, you know, like a bit of kismet with his grandfather.
You described it when we were talking off the air after the interview. You talked about gratitude with him, and you can feel it. And I think the part that all the Cubs stuff and his connection to the Cubs stuff, I think, is super cool. This is the part that got me. And it's him talking about having Tommy John surgery and what that road back was like for him.
Last year, I didn't get a job at the beginning of the year. I was rehabbing Tommy John surgery. You know, I had a surgery before that for my flexor that, you know, we thought was going to fix the problem. And I just never really felt right after that to kind of sum things up quickly, you know? And, so I came off a bad year, and then, you know, it wasn't healthy. And then, you know, it was clear I needed Tommy John, and then, you know, wasn't able to get a big league deal. So, you know, last off season, I had the perspective of watching from home, and it was one of those things where it's like, you never know if you're going to get an opportunity. Now, my belief in what I know I could do never wavered. You know, I was like, if I get the chance to have a ball in my hand, I know exactly what I'm going to do, and I'm going to prepare like crazy. But I had to try out, essentially, and you never know if you're going to get that deal. So, I'm grateful. I believe my best baseball is ahead of me. I believe that, you know, I have more than a couple of years left. I want to play, you know, much longer than that. I'd love to play into my 40s. I don't know if I'm going to be granted that opportunity, but I do have a ton of gratitude for where I am today, knowing that it all can be gone very fast. And to get to wear a baseball uniform, not to mention that Cubby blue with the pinstripes, man, it's something that, you know, I only could dream about as a kid. So, you know, that's kind of what plays into that.
Glad you wanted to relive this a bit, Lawrence, and just sit in that headspace. It's such wonderful headspace. Good for him. You know, he's old enough at 34 right now to realize how fleeting this stuff can be. These are the most starts he has made, 18 this year, since 2019. So since he was 28 years old, since then, it's been a battle and a slog to not be able to make his way through a full season. So we hope his rebuilt arm can carry it forward this year.
Yeah, and there's a couple more things here that we want you guys to share. Like, this is, like, we talked a little bit today about, like, baseball romanticism, and we're both privy to that. We both are susceptible to baseball romanticism. But how can you not root for a guy like this?
Yeah, yeah. I have a little more romanticism. I mean, that's why I'm the police.
you're definitely the police today. And usually you're not. Usually you're just waving people through.
Yeah, I'm putting up barricades all over the place.
Yeah, today it's like putting those strips down where people roll by and their tires get blown out.
Wear your seatbelts. I'm going to pull you over and see if you got a seatbelt on. Go ahead.
It's true. This is what Matthew Boyd feels about having his family at Wrigley watching him pitch.
I'm grateful. You know, it was really special. I mean, the day before opening day, I was walking around the field with my dad. I showed him the clubhouse, and we got to walk on the field and, you know, walk around. He got to go touch the bricks and, you know, see the IV up and close. And you could see the emotion kind of overwhelming. That was overwhelming to him. And his first words he said, he goes, "Wow, what I would give to switch spots with my dad right now so he could witness this." And I say that I don't think I understood the gravity of it. Like I don't think I fully will, but you know, my dad does. And to see, I think anyone who knows, you have that love of family and you know those people that you love and you see what something means to them. I mean, playing for the Cubs will always be something that was a dream of mine, but to see it, to do it and then have my dad have the emotions and knowing that he has the emotions for his father. It's just something I'm like, I've got chills kind of saying it. It's just really special. And again, I have a ton of gratitude to just wear this uniform.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
This is what I'm saying, man. His dad wanted to switch places with his late grandfather. It's beautiful. And this is why you can't turn the seventh inning stretch into a TikTok video. That's why you can't do it.
When you see Matthew Boyd be announced, know that that's what's getting announced.
Oh, that's a good call, man, because the All-Star Game, it gives you those kind of special moments.
It'll be odd for people because they're like, wait, who's Matthew Boyd? But we wanted you to know who Matthew Boyd is, what he's representing, as he's representing you as a Cub fan next Tuesday. That's the representation that we're talking about.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And so many of those dudes will have a story. Like,
yeah.
Think
about Marte. Could tell Marte's story this year.
Sure.
And what that is. There's a lot of stories, but I'm glad that we could spotlight this one. We need to take a break. When we come back, Tanny's got something for us.
Yeah, the caller on Sunday triggered a classic memory. So if you like Old Score, really good audio, the caller's going to take you right there.
It's next on the Score.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Just to be clear, like, we love fun.
Afternoons on the Score.
Here we go. Memory lane.
So how was the concert, Danny?
Oh, not a lot of time to talk about it, but it was amazing. Saw Wu-Tang last night. Run the Jewels opened up for them. Saw people I haven't seen in like 10, 15 years. Jason Goff was there as well. Ran into him. So it was just a really good time. Great visuals. Wu-Tang had a full band. They had, they had singers with them, vocalists with them up there too. Just an amazing night for their final show, the final chamber, they called it here in Chicago.
Glad you enjoyed that.
That's awesome.
That's quality stuff.
Glad you asked,
All right,
Lawrence.
Tell us about, what are we hearing here, Speed?
From the ethereal to the random, I guess it's really from the ethereal to the sports nuts and bolts. It's a certain profile of a Score call that always makes me laugh. We had one on Hit and Run on Sunday. This is Mark in Cicero.
Hey, Matt, listen to your show every Sunday. Back in 1975, my dad made me bet my allowance. I was 11 years old. He took Cincinnati, and I've been a Red Sox fan ever since. And
wait,
I don't know.
Hold on. He made you bet your allowance? What's that about?
Just to make it interesting, I guess, but that's how I became a diehard Red Sox fan. So anyways, I don't know if you remember back in 2004, Game 4 of the World Series in St. Louis, there was a full lunar eclipse, and the cameraman panned to it, and the announcer said, "It looks like the curse of the Bambino has just been lifted."
Wow.
Anyways, my other point is Dansby Swanson batting in the fifth spot has a 195 average with runners in scoring position, and you saw what it looked like yesterday.
So
all right, I'm done. Thanks. Love you,
Thank you, Mark. Phenomenal segue. Just phenomenal. So
we went all the way around the world to get to the thing that he really wanted to talk about. It was also nice to hear Joe Ostrowski call in and tell us how he got involved in gambling.
So from the ethereal of the lunar eclipse, and it connects me with my father, to Dansby shouldn't be hitting in the four hole is very scorish.
It's amazing.
And
those are the levels that our listener, they work on.
And this, so I when I talked about it with Tanny, he knew exactly which legendary phone call to Dan Hampton and Hub Arkish on the score in years past it reminded me of.
Mike in his truck says here you got a Hamp story you want to tell us.
Mr. Hampton, it's an honor to talk to you, sir. I met you with my 8-month-old daughter about, gotta be 26 years ago at the Old Navy Pier, and she was in a body cast, the only thing free from her hands and her legs, and you were talking to me, and she put her arms up deep for you, and you picked her up, and she put her arms around your neck and gave you a kiss on the cheek, and I saw a smile come across that big old tree face of yours, and it looked like you almost dropped a tear, and I just wanted to thank you for that, and to this day, she's 24 years old, and she still has that picture on her wall, and my question to you is, why do the Bears want to keep Jay Cutler in a pocket when, to me, it seems like he's much better when he's on the move?
Is that exquisite? I feel like that is just the essence of what we do. A deep-rooted, heartfelt connection. Thank you for my daughter, who's now 24. And why the hell is Jay Cutler not allowed to scramble?
So great.
That big oak tree face.
The big oak tree face. And to this day, my question remains, why was his little girl in a body cast? Like, what happened?
Well, I'm just glad that she recovered and survived. And
I think she's 24 now, and she's still in that same body cast.
But they haven't fixed the cast. Yeah, it's very small now on her body.
No, it grew with her.
No, she hulked out of it.
Yeah.
As she grew, she hulked out, and now she feels fine.
I thought every 6 months they give her a new body cast. She just keeps growing.
It's that scene from, I think that was Fast 6, where The Rock is in a cast and has decided that he is no longer going to be in a cast, and he just flexes.
Oh, wow.
And then he's out of the cast. He took some painkillers, and then he flexed, and then he was out of the cast.
Oh, my God.
That couldn't be a more perfect score call.
Right, I think that's just
all of the elements. It's Hamp, it's Hub.
Yes. It's heartfelt. And it's
the emotion. Like, because I saw a lot of people get emotional around Hamp, because he's a legend, you know? And he's also a sweetie. So, like,
so you could have those real kind of moments.
100%.
Absolutely.
100%. Mm-hmm. And then, but really, guys, what I really want to talk about is the way that they're using Cutman.
Yeah, it just ain't wrong. It just ain't right. It's like, yeah, it's all things. So we love you. We appreciate all the things.
Yeah, we got to talk to the people a little bit today. It was fun.
Yeah, man, for sure. We should do it more often.
Yeah, well, we will. There'll be other opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of my notes. It's part of my notes for you for after the show. We'll talk.
Talk show police, Matt Spiegel. He is just not done being the police today.
I'm setting up barricades all over town.
So now he's going to be talk show police.
That's right. See me. Alex, see me after the show. There's some notes.
Something bad?
Something.
Something awful.
Something extremely bad.
Not good.
Not good.
Not good.
See me after the show. Not good.
That's a wrap. It is a wrap. Oh, man, this was quite the show today.
It really was. We hit all the places.
We did. We hit all of the places. We had fun with Jason Leisure. We had a great time with Nico Horner. You should go back and check out the rewind function on the Odyssey app to check out both of those interviews. A lively conversation in 3 o'clock hour about the seventh inning stretch that you should probably check out as well. Thanks, everyone involved. For Alex, for Tanny, for my partner Matt Spiegel, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support you show us every single day. We'll get back after it tomorrow, 2 o'clock. Talk a little Cubs and weird ass Minnesota Twins right here on The Score.
Well, that was a unique rendition.
Yeah, you normally don't get that kind of crowd response, so that was interesting.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on
video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.